Hello and welcome back to the Smart Life podcast. This is episode 3 and Jess and I are delighted to be joined by Oliver Tad and Abby Cofton from Energini talking about their My Home service, as well as a look at diversity in tech, energy efficiency, and how smart home technology can help people stay in their homes for longer. And we're also turning the tables this episode, as Jess and I answer questions on some brilliant research that the team at My Home have undertaken. Enjoy. The Smart Life Podcast, episode 3.
My Home has got a great product range, so tell us a little bit more about your products and the services that you offer.
So at My Home, we have a whole range of smart home devices aimed at sort of the energy conscious and also aimed at sort of the more affordable end of the market. So the key parts of our range sort of cover four pillars, as we call them. So we've got power, which can include smart plugs and integrated wall sockets, lighting, which is so integrated retrofit light switches, heating, which is radiator valves and thermostats, and then we have something that we call sort of sense and alert, which is sensors, which include motion sensor and stuff. The key part of our range is that it's quite broad, and therefore we actually can interlink all of these different products and actually create more value out of just having sort of, for instance, our radiator valves work with our thermostat, so you can call for heat. Our light switches can work with motion sensors, so you can turn on lights when you need to, when you come home, for etc. So you get more value out of having more products. Which is really where smart homes going in the future, I think, is that the sort of the amalgamation of all the different products working together actually adds more value than just having one smart product that only does one thing.
Fantastic. Now, you mentioned then that My Home has, you know, one of the big selling points that you guys use is a focus on energy efficiency and being eco-friendly products. And that's kind of a way that you guys certainly differentiate yourself from the market. Do you find that sort of resounds well in the marketplace and with your consumers?
So we find that consumers sort of, when we've looked into market research, there's three things consumers are really looking to do with smart home. Funnily enough, the first one is really to harness the power of voice. Mm-hmm. So a lot of our consumers go, oh, well, I've either been given or I've been bought one of these voice speakers, and they want to harness that power, and one of the first things they do is lighting, because it's that instant sort of gratification.
Yeah.
And then the second two pieces are sort of that around convenience. Unfortunately, we are inherently lazy, and people do like to turn on the kettle from their bed or the lights when they go to bed from their voice. So there's an element of that. But thirdly, we found from our research is the green element. Mm-hmm. And if that's energy saving or if it's money saving, we're not sure. I think they go hand in hand a lot of the time. We've seen in the press recently with sort of the protests in London, especially among sort of the younger demographic. I think it's important that people are trying to sort of save energy and sort of do their best.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that typically what we'd associate with those younger demographics that is this acceptance or use of technology. So they're much more open to trying out different things. In terms of the way you communicate that to your consumers, do you like to give suggestions about how you can put your certain products together to get the best out of that kind of energy efficiency?
Yeah. So one of the key messages around our thermostat and our rad valves is exactly that. So it's all about heating where you live rather than heating the whole house. So for instance, generally what happens if you work from home, you've been given a studio office, which is in the corner of the house, where you're sort of shut away for the day. But what you'll do is you'll turn the heating up and the whole of the house will heat, which makes no sense. Whereas if you put a radiator valve in each of the rooms, you can then just heat that particular room and turn off the rest of the house. So you're saving energy at the same time as working in comfort. So that's really how we see sort of using those sort of things. The other message that we use, and we've actually done some work in student residential halls. What they do is they put door and window sensors on windows in student halls, and then they put a radiator valve on, and essentially, as we all know as students, you sort of turn up the heating, then you open the window and you heat the world. So what they do is essentially sort of combine the two, so if the student decides to open the window, they automatically turn off the heating. So that sort of messaging is particularly around heating works very well.
Yeah. So if we're going to take it big for a second and think about really tackling climate change, smart home could be a massive tool in that. And also, if you expand it out, like you were just saying, into sort of public sector areas and elements, you could really see some very massive benefits. I mean, are you finding there's that it's almost becoming community level in the way that you're
So we've seen a couple of areas where you can see it on a grander scale.
Mm-hmm.
One is demand side response. So whereby you've got you've started to see some startups in the energy sector whereby they're essentially looking to control sort of the output of the grid. So for instance, you're going to see tariffs come in on a sort of an hourly basis soon, where you pay by the hour. And the idea is that they may offer a service whereby if you use certain devices, washing machines for one, in the night, then you pay better premium. One of the ways to do that is obviously control them through smart home, turn it on. So if the energy company could potentially, say, turn off all freezers in the UK when England are in the World Cup final and everyone's making a cup of tea just for 20 minutes, you'd get a smoothing of the grid. So if it was installed everywhere. The other thing we've seen is with obviously solar and stuff, people sharing and sending power back to the grid. I think another big movement will be cars. So obviously with everyone having essentially a big battery on their driveway, there's the ability to pull power out of the car and then pull it back in when you need to. So I think there's a lot of stuff that smart home can do, especially because it controls where power goes. Mm. There's a lot going. And I think the other place that we've seen quite interestingly used is in sort of the gamification of, so there's certain roads now that you see whereby everyone in the road sort of measured their own energy, and you got a different light outside your house. So you were red if you used too much, and you were green if you were really good.
Mm.
And what they found is because people compete naturally, because they want to spend less money, people naturally sort of drive down their energy bills because they want to beat next door. It's sort of keeping up with the Joneses.
It's brilliant. I love that. And I love that new concept of thinking about new technology in the home as being a power controller rather than a data controller, because that's where the focus is at the moment. It's a data controller, but actually being a gateway for power.
In terms of, like, from a marketing position, I suppose, you know, presumably that that green message is resounding well. It's why you're working with it, and you're obviously quite proud of how you're doing it. Do you find that you're getting more a sort of a greater demand from the industry or from the marketplace to be greener and to increase those offerings?
We are actually. We recently conducted a survey to our customers, My Home Gateway users, to find out what the kind of top three advantages of using My Home were. And the top benefit that they mentioned was actually saving energy. That was about 40% of those we actually interviewed. So definitely we're seeing an increase in that demand. And it's obviously great as well to see that people are being energy conscious and seeing, you know, the massive advantages to using smart home technology.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, you know, sitting within, you know, the smart home IoT industry. And, you know, obviously we have our own innovations and there's new technology all the time. But, you know, how we respond to that consumer demand, especially for, as people, I think, are now so much more energy aware and trying to be more energy efficient, that actually I always find that it's the industry keeping up with that consumer demand as opposed to setting the agenda as we may have done previously. And I think that comes back to the idea of, you know, whereas previously a lot of tech was sold on the concept of its features, and now we're moving to you're selling a lifestyle, you know, and any products that you can offer the marketplace where, you know, you can say you can be a better global citizen by, you know, not only saving yourself money, but also being better for the world.
Yeah, I certainly agree that consumer tech as a whole really is now people buying stuff, but less people buying stuff full stop.
Mm.
Stuff seems to have been, is plateauing, and people really want to buy something that says something about themselves, either the persona they sort of put out on social media or they are trying to be the persona they put out on social media. It depends on the way you look at it. But what they then do is they then work that lifestyle into that persona. And I think that's really how people are starting to consume products. So it's not necessarily about having sort of the biggest TV in the world now. It's about having a TV that may sort of be connected to certain types of content. So it's more about, as you say, the services or the content that hangs off products rather than the actual hardware itself.
So this leads on quite interesting. So we had a look and you provide a selection of Raspberry Pi accessories,
So you finding that the marketplace is using technology to deliver this customization that you're talking about, and the fact that an individual is not about having the latest and greatest anymore, it's about making things work for them personally.
So the Raspberry Pi community is an interesting one that we sort of came into sort of really through the education space. There was a point where Raspberry Pi and coding was a really large new agenda piece in sort of the government education focus. But that's really how we moved into it. And when what we found from that is that there's a whole community of people, hobbyists, sort of, who are looking to create something themselves. And I think that's, one, driven by privacy. There's a lot of people who, especially in the sector, or who understand technology, who may have a fear of it, and therefore they build their own sort of Raspberry Pi based solutions. But also I think that it's that idea of creating that people want to do. So we had a guy who created a sous vide cooking machine, very middle class. With some smart plugs and sort of a water bath and a heating unit. So there's lots of people out there doing their own things. And Raspberry Pi allows you to do that. So we provide all of our code open source for the Raspberry Pi users and the community. And actually, you find a lot of engagement back. It's a bit of a feedback cycle, really. So we say, here you go, here's some stuff. What can you do with it? And then the community comes back and says, well, we make sous vide machines. So.
Brilliant. I mean, so is My Home quite passionate about educating the next generation as well in terms of getting them into tech?
Yeah, so we did a number of pieces with a number of schools. So we worked quite closely with Reading College, and what they did, it was about a year ago now, it was last Christmas, every time someone put a hashtag into Twitter, that hashtag then lit up their Christmas tree in their foyer. There's real sort of passion for getting people into coding and tech. I think the UK is quite a long way behind personally. From a schooling point of view, and I think getting sort of both kids and also women into tech is key.
I think so, and I think in terms of technology, that we need to get more diversity and more women into technology, and especially the products that we're creating in the smart home, because you're going to get better products in the end that actually appeal to the market. So in other technology sectors, so PwC have launched a Tech She Can charter. Do you think that's something that the smart home industry needs? Because predominantly our consumers are going to be female buying products, and research has proved that.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, to get to the mass market, there's absolutely no point selling to the guy who's a bit into gadgets, because most smart tech products and smart home products are really about the home. And the home is sort of for the family. And one thing that we've noticed is, so we do an integrated solution for sort of matching non-smart and smart wiring accessories. Because what we realised is actually people don't necessarily want smart sockets on every socket around the house. So it's all about integration and design. And I think, to be honest, the industry is probably been a little bit slow to realise that it has to be part of the whole home rather than just sort of it's a gadget. So I think that and the only way you can do that is actually talk to the whole market rather than just sort of lots of engineers sitting around deciding what's best.
Do you think that from that sort of product design point of view, and even the messaging that you guys are putting out, it's less, again, going back to features and lifestyle, you know, it's less about trying to sell it as a smart object and just trying to say, well, this is the new standard thing.
Yes.
You know, just put it in your house, you turn it on, it works. And do you think that there's still some way to go in making people comfortable enough to just trust and use that tech and almost not even consider it smart tech, you know, for example?
Yeah, I think I think that we're some way off yet, sort of removing the word smart, unfortunately, even though how horrible the word is. And it took time for phones. I mean, I know people who still refer to their phone as a smartphone. It needs to be a bit more integrated before it gets there. I think some brands are doing it well. So I think actually doorbells are doing very well in that space. You're starting to see people just go, oh, that's what a doorbell should be. Why have I ever had a doorbell that just rang inside the house? So I think it will get there. And I think it's part of the marketing is the point. Yeah. You see, if you market, it's a lifestyle and it's better. But it just works for you rather than saying, look, this has features and this has this processor. And
it's really interesting that we're talking about lifestyle quite a lot. And you look at the video doorbells, for example. Do you think that they would necessarily have come about had the way that people change their shopping habits? One of the biggest things is, if you've got a delivery and you're not at home, for example, how do you deal with that? Do you think that, the rise of Amazon and ASOS and all the other online retailers has sort of helped push domestic technology forwards?
I think so. I think definitely. I mean, one of our obviously biggest customers is Amazon. So in terms of, retailers. So I think definitely the convenience, Amazon Prime, being able to get things next day, really quick delivery service, obviously influences people's purchasing decisions. Mm. And women are largely the main purchasers for the home. So definitely it's all interlinked.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely fascinating. And women are both consumers and not necessarily represented in technology. Do you still, obviously product design and engineering and manufacture, it's still largely male dominated. Are you sort of trying to really address that and make sure that your products are accessible and are being designed with the full market in mind when you are designing those products?
Yeah, I think it's key to start, as I said, with one thing that we realised with the sort of non-matching and matching wiring accessories is exactly that, is that it's about having a whole solution and actually thinking about when people are going to buy this. And I think that's the key. And that buying decision is far, far greater than just going on Amazon and buying a gadget.
Yeah.
I think there's a definite focus on one, the buying journey, but also sort of how do we then make products that fit that buying journey.
Mm. Yeah. I think that's really key because there's different ways people want to interact, and a lot of research has said that in the UK, most people want to interact with smart home or purchase smart home through their electrician, their handyman, their installer, because you're at a point where it's a much more sort of attractive proposition. So if you're spending £15,000 getting your windows done and somebody says, well, for another couple of £100 I can put in some sensors and I can secure up your house, you go, great, that's a bargain.
Yeah.
You walk into your retailer on a Saturday and somebody approaches you and goes, do you want to spend £300 on security time to get lost? Are you kidding me?
You came in for a flower.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just kind of something small. I mean, I know I spent, shop are crazy, but seriously. But I think that's the thing. I think, and then catering your products to work for that buying journey, and then on top of that, your marketing is really, really key.
Yeah.
So that they, when they're at that point, and that's a key buying point, they know
yes
what to ask for and how that works, rather than it being sprung on them for the first time.
Yeah. We recently launched a new installation service as well. So although our products are self-installable, we now have a whole team of My Home professional electricians who will go out and actually fit the products for consumers. So again, it's about making it easier for people to make that lifestyle decision and choice.
And we found that sort of, as we call it, the done for me market, so is key. And it seems that it's definitely a Western trend, that the people who used to do DIY are older now and generally can afford not to.
Yeah.
And people who are younger don't have a clue.
Time.
And things like TaskRabbit and stuff, and it just makes life is so much easier when you, because of the sharing economy and the way that things are moving and digital natives, people expect to be able to order everything online and it to happen quite quickly and be reasonably priced. So that's sort of where we see smart home going, is that you'll have someone who comes around and they will do the service. You'll go, I would like to solve these problems, and they will go, this is what you need.
And that's true, because it's the art of the possible. So the until you've seen it, you don't know, and it's very difficult to communicate that on the back of a product thing, especially how everything operates together. So I tend to define that, well, obviously we've got a smart speaker and a lighting brand, obviously, throughout our house. It was actually you before Christmas came to my house, and I sat down and went, good evening, and it set it into certain sets of lights. And then I went, dinner party, and it put music on and set the lights a certain way. And you're like,
I was sold out.
So I actually think there'll be a surge of like the Avon parties for smart home. I think that's coming back, I think, because that's the best way. If somebody go around and somebody goes, how do you look? Well, I'm buying that.
I think the Avon idea is quite a nice idea, actually, the way of selling it. Because it's the experience. And the problem, one of the problems retail has at the moment is that there's nowhere near enough experience when you walk into a shop. It's lots of boxes, and you don't really, unless you're already an educated sort of consumer, you sort of walk in and go, well, I'm not going to read every box to see what I want. So you just go, okay, I'll stick with what I know.
You can't see the worth or the value in it, because it's not, the value is not just in a single plug, the value is in multiple.
Yes.
And at certain times of years, a smart plug becomes much more valuable around Christmas.
Yes.
Because you can put it for the Christmas tree, and then everybody's like, that is brilliant, so I'm going to do that. But
yeah. Do you find, especially with, you know, this, the, I know everyone talks about them, that millennial generation, where that has grown up and sort of used to certainly paying for convenience, you know, happy to pay more for, be it Amazon Prime or whatever else. Yeah, exactly. You know, they're happy to pay for that additional convenience, and again, that whole lifestyle thing. Do you find that also comes with a certain more education? You know, they're doing their research before, you know, committing to purchase.
So interestingly, we, from our research, we actually found that one of the demographics that's most interested in smart home is the millennial, but they're the people with the least amount of smart home. Whereas we have our biggest sort of demographic is actually sort of over 55. Mm. Generally, our feeling is it's because you're a homeowner. Our products work in homeowner environments, whereby you can change the light switch and you can change the heating. Mm. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. I think it's a really interesting point actually about home ownership and the impact that has between the generations on, you know, how you can customise your space, how you can, you know, make home improvements, you know, without either A, breaking the bank, or B, you know, within the confines of your tenancy agreement.
Yep.
You know, is that something that you guys are aware of when you are developing these products and marketing and releasing them, that, you know, there is a demographic that want that level of customisation, but certainly have a certain number of restrictions on them that, you know, can't deliver exactly what they might want?
Yeah, we tend to find that we market the sort of plug and play products a lot more sort of towards the millennial or the younger generation, because they are exactly that plug and play. It's sort of, if you're looking at sort of a matching sort of smart socket switches with cooker switches that match and fan isolators.
Yeah.
It's not many millennials who can redo their kitchen. I mean, weirdly, because I rent and I've tried to put in smart thermostats into my house, and I said to the landlord, I want to do this, and they went, no. You've had that sort of 1950s thermostat, it's worked all the time, I don't want you changing it. Which is, even though you feel it's an improvement, they don't necessarily feel it is. So there is definitely a different sort of product mix that goes to both demographics.
One of the things that we've talked about before with people is the idea of that kind of route to market through insurers. Do you think that there's the potential to, you know, through landlord insurance, perhaps, to start offering, you know, smart home devices as part of, you know, an insurance agreement whereby, you know, they can help renters, you know, improve the home and put this technology into their house, you know, to help either reduce their premiums or things like that? Do you think that would be a way that the smart home market could help that, you know, the renting generation?
Yeah, so there's a company who already, they were recently bought by Aviva, and they are doing exactly that. So they're utilising smart tech to either reduce, a bit like telematics in a car, really, so they understand what's going on in the home. And then they make decisions based on that. If they're positive for the consumer, that is yet to be said. So if you put in sort of motion sensors and then they actually found you were on holiday all year, your premiums may go up. So it depends on, not necessarily sure if the premiums will always fall. But yeah, I definitely think there's more data that an insurer can have, the better decisions they make. It's sort of the basis of the business model. So yeah, I think there's definitely a case for it. It's the same way as Vitality are now asking you to use wearables. Which is great if you actually are doing lots of walking.
Yeah.
It's not so great if you're not doing any walking. So there is an element of, yeah, the people who share with the people who do best. So it sort of skews the market. But, it's an interesting way of looking
at it. I mean, the Vitality one, they do at least incentivise it. A friend of mine took it up and basically got given a Apple Watch, and it was a monthly fee, but the more exercise you do, reduce the monthly fee down to, it could even get down to zero. So it really incentivized her to just keep exercising, and then she got a watch for free.
Yeah.
And then she stopped exercising. Yeah. Yeah.
She's like, that's it. I've got the watch. I've done that. Right, well, we're about to turn the tables for once.
Yes,
myself and Thomas are going to be tested on our knowledge of My Home and Smart Home Market using the responses of a recent My Home survey conducted on My Home Smart Home users. So,
over to you guys.
Over to you guys.
So, question number one. In the survey, My Home asked their consumers what the main benefits of using smart home products such as My Home were. Can you guess the top three most popular answers?
So, I'd say, I mean, based on the conversations that I know that we guys, you know, we've had and where the market has, I don't know, I definitely think that for a lot of smart home consumers, the biggest route to market is being bought or going out and buying a smart speaker.
Yeah.
And figuring out what you can do with that I feel like is a big old door that you can open and go through. So I certainly think that that's one of them.
See, the thing I'm stuck with is, I also think saving energy is a big one for this particular, for your particular brand, but also saving time. Because that is always a very big consideration as well.
I think it was certainly one of my considerations when I was putting smart home tech in you know, my home was actually, what devices can I put in that are going to make my life easier, save me some time. So I'd say let's go with those three.
You are correct.
Oh, yes!
Fantastic, good. Oh, yeah, that's
so, right. Over 60% of those surveyed mentioned the integration with Amazon Alexa and Google Home, which all of our My Home products have. The second most popular benefit cited was saving energy at 40%, which we talked about earlier. And third most popular was saving time, so well done.
Fantastic.
So question number two, let's see if you can do as well with this one. How many My Home customers, and this is in, I guess, percentages, do you think cited voice controls such as Amazon Alexa and Google Home as key factors in their purchasing decision of My Home? So you've got four options here, these are percentages. So do you think it was 21%, 45%? 63% or 67%? And there was a bit of a hint in my previous response.
Yes!
I'm going to go for around 63%.
Yeah, I was about to say 63%. I think it's up there.
Yeah, I think it might not necessarily be one of the... I don't know. Let's go 63%.
Let's go for 63%. Because I think it's a good... like you said, and we've all agreed, it's a great gateway into that. And Amazon's one of their best customers.
Yes.
I'm going to go with 63.
67%.
Oh, slightly higher.
Very close, though. Very close. Okay, question number three. What is the biggest concern named amongst My Home customers in using smart home products? So you've got four options here. Technology being hacked, understanding how to use products effectively, affordability to buy more, and keeping up to date with the latest product releases.
So those are all really, really valid points, and we've done surveys and research that those are coming up. But our number one, and I'd be interested to see if yours the same, was data. It was technology being hacked. It was data privacy, and I want to answer with that one to see if it's the same from My Home customers, or whether because they're My Home customers, they don't feel as that's as big an issue.
I think, as well as obviously the privacy and the data element, I think that a mixture of sort of C and D, you know, not just the affordability to buy more, but, you know, the affordability to keep up. This technology is moving so fast, you know, we all mm-hmm. aware of that. So I think that maybe, you know, actually, as I say, splashing out, but, you know, committing to a purchase and saying, right, I'm going to buy the technology. And I think I'm conscious that technology might have moved on before I can necessarily afford to replace it. So I'm going to...
Exactly.
I'm going to go C/D.
I go A. All right.
So you've covered all the bases.
So it's going to be B, isn't it?
Yeah. It was actually price. So it was affordability to buy more was the most popular concern. This concern around price, obviously we're seeing this as a real challenge at the moment. Interestingly, 53% of our survey actually selected affordability as a top benefit as well. So obviously price is something that some people see as a challenge, but they're also seeing that My Home represents affordability within the market.
We've seen lots of studies that you cite price as an issue, and I think there's an argument that it's perception over reality.
But I think, like you say, it depends on who you're asking.
Yes.
For people that might have been once upon a time used to spending 10 grand to kit out their home in full automation systems, and now they can do it for under £1,000, price is great. But for those people that are actually wouldn't necessarily have thought about home automation before, but now have it presented as an affordable option, I think you're right. There is still that question of, okay, well, I never really wanted this, but if this is the new standard for home technology,
it depends where you're coming from as a consumer. The other thing we found with privacy, it depends who you ask again. So the younger demographic.
Yeah, they don't. That's true.
But you know where I am because of social media. You know exactly who all my friends are, where I live, and everything. Yeah. So, the fact that you can sort of turn my heating up and down, I really don't mind. Whereas the older demographic, I think there's also this concern that just because necessarily one smart product may be sort of be able to be hacked, that then suddenly they've stolen all of their money out of their bank account, and the journey is not quite that that simple. So we've heard at trade shows when we've spoken to customers, this just means that people will be able to take money out of my bank account. It's quite a long journey, but if that's the consumer fear, that's the consumer fear. You've got to deal with it.
That sort of gives us a good outlook on the kind of education that we need to be doing, in terms of, because you can educate about your product, but then there's a lot going on around it in terms of changing your password on a router. Like, please do that. And that's the thing, is whose responsibility it is to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Question number four. What benefit was the most popularly mentioned amongst My Home customers? So was it A, easy to set up, B, voice assistant compatibility, C, affordability, or D, ease of purchase?
I'm going to go with A, easy to set up. I think, especially with this new technology, the idea that someone could just take it into their homes, back from the shops, or have it delivered, plug it in and start using it, I think is a real great benefit of the My Home system.
Yeah, I would agree.
You are correct. Well done. You were both exactly the same there, weren't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. No, I was like, no, this is going to be an easy complaint. And because you've thought about service as well, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so obviously our products are all self-installable, but we also offer a professional installation service, which people can book through our website. Question number five. My Home customers were asked, do you use the internet to research which My Home products to buy? And what would you say was the most popular answer? The Energini website, search engines, review sites, or forums?
So it's difficult because I'm trying to think about the two elements of it. So if you were looking for My Home products, probably the Energini website is probably the best place to have a look and get the best information. So in terms of consumer buying stages and how consumers work, a lot of them are using review sites, so that peer-to-peer recommendation, word of mouth in the digital age is incredibly important.
Yeah.
So I'm stuck between the two.
Yeah, again, I'm thinking, like, when I, in terms of, which brands to go for, I think even now when I'm buying any new tech, the first thing I do is I'll Google, best X tech 2019. For example, get those lists and saying, right, if you want to spend under £100, this one. If you want to spend 100 to 250, this one. But then I think, having understood which brands offer what I'm after the best, I then go to that company's website to research their product offerings and which of their offerings are the most suitable. So I'm stuck between A and C.
I'm going to go with A. I think once everybody got it. Then we've covered with A.
Yes.
One of us is going to be right.
I like it.
So the answer is actually B, search engine. Oh. So people go on Google, obviously search for the product they're looking for.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of your explanation, it makes total sense. So we found, certainly looking at the analytics of our website, that lots of people will then go to Google, find our website, and then will research on the My Home website the products they want to buy. So question number six, My Home have recently launched their new smart Wi-Fi plug. When they asked their followers on social media what they would most use their My Home smart
Wi-Fi plug for, what was the most popular answer? Was it A, use it for their TV, B, use it for their laptops, C, use it for their lamp or their lighting in the home, D, use it with their tablet, or E, use it for their fans?
I think C, lamps and lighting. Just because it's a great way to retrofit your original sort of lamp fittings without having to go for a full smart lighting ecosystem in the home.
Yeah. I'd say TV's probably a close second. I know most of us put it on standby, but we shouldn't because of energy efficiency. But it's the most annoying thing to try and turn off.
You are right.
Yes,
over 50% of people. And then second to that was using it for the TV, specifically in their bedroom, which I thought was very interesting.
Oh,
so,
that's
yeah,
just having
the convenience.
Because you don't want to get up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's very
and,
true.
And a lot of families saying using it for the tablet so they can monitor and
what
their children
are
doing. And yeah.
Do you know what? I have a slight confession to make. When we purchased a certain lighting system, at the end of last year, the bulbs that we had delivered didn't actually fit the existing lamps we had in our living room. So we went and bought new lamps. I know. And we scoured trying to find like lamps that would fit the living room. And I was just thinking, why did I do it that way? And I was, but there we go. So yes, I think, do you know what? The smart thing would have been to just, you know, buy a smart plug.
And a very cheap solution as well.
Exactly, exactly. But no, I was determined and I was stubborn. So I did it that way.
Next question. In the My Home survey, what percentage of My Home customers purchase My Home to affordably build their own smart home? So this is percentage answers. So did you think it was A, 30%, B, 50%, C, 85%, or D, 95%?
I think it might be quite high. I think especially with your product offering, customising, you know, building your own smart home without breaking the bank, I'd say 85%.
Yeah, I was going to say like B or C.
It was D, 95%.
Wow. Whoa, that is incredible.
So bearing in mind these are customers that already own a My Home Gateway and they're looking to expand their product range. Mm. And obviously because we have such a large, wide range of smart home products, it's easy to build your smart home.
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Question number 8. My Home have recently launched a professional installation service in the UK for customers who want professional engineers to install their smart home for them. How many devices can be installed as part of the service? Is it A, 2 devices, B, 4 devices, C, 8 devices, or D, there is no limit?
I'd say there is no limit. Try project limit.
See, I would say the same, but just in case if not. No, do you know what? Let's go with it. Let's say there's no limit.
That's correct.
Oh, my goodness.
You can install as many products as you like. And as I mentioned earlier, you can book that through our website.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Well, that was rather nice. It was nice to be on the receiving end of the question. For sure.
Also understanding people's, you know, nervousness and terror.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. I get it now. And do you know what? It's a really interesting, you know, like you said, depending on who you're talking to in the market, you know, the demographics of people buying into the smart home, they're so varied.
Yes.
And, you know, seeing how, you know, product offerings and price points and, you know, even something as basic as like, well, we make our products open source and we encourage, you know, that flexibility with them. That's something a million miles away from a different provider. And, you know, you clearly, you know, get people, you different demographics.
If you think about it, I suppose smart home really does cover absolutely every single demographic. Everyone generally lives in a home and generally sort of could utilise it in some way. So you've got people who are utilising Alexa and Google Assistant for their kids and their homework, all the way to utilising, we have customers who are utilising our products to monitor their sort of elderly parents to make sure they're up and about. So in that, you've got sort of the whole spectrum from sort of the sort of 5-year-old kid winding Alexa up by asking too many jokes to sort of actually monitoring the elderly to make sure that they're sort of up and well so they're independently living. So yeah, it really does cover every single sort of person.
Yeah. And that brings us quite nicely actually onto our last point, which is about how smart home technology can be used to assist independent living and to let people live in their homes for longer. So there was an article that came out recently about the US actor Gary Sinise essentially gave or donated a smart home to a serviceman who lost both of his legs in Afghanistan. And, you know, using this technology, you know, goes way beyond, I suppose, gimmickry and, you know, the gadgetry of it all, and actually can genuinely change people's lives in their own home. Is that something that you guys are aware of when you're, you know, looking at how your products are used?
Yeah, so we've done a number of, we're part of a number of trials in the UK. So for one, we're part of a trial called Active Age, which is all about that. It's all about keeping people of elderly active and in their own homes. Obviously, there is a huge problem in the UK at the moment with demographics, and also the fact that there seems to be no money left in the coffers. So there is a need to keep to allow people to live independently, and smart home allows them people to do that. We did one thing with a guy who had a foster home, for instance. And he was using smart home in a really novel way. So what he found is he put a sort of voice assistant and then sort of some of our sockets and switches into the girls' bedrooms. And what he saw it as was a way of sort of inviting them in. So as soon as they started to speak to their own bedroom, they suddenly felt at home, which is really quite poignant. And that's how he was utilising it. And it's so it can be used both to help sort of people who aren't able to do stuff, but also to sort of almost sort of make people familiar.
And it's also that lovely thing of being an enabler, but not being a differentiator. So it doesn't make you different using it, because everybody uses smart home, and it's not, you know, you can be independent and do the things that you want to do, but you're not marked out by it. Because in the past, a lot of the assistant technology or the things that you needed to help you,
always cream and horrible.
And then, you know, they would, people would know, or that you were like, whereas now it's much more.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the stuff that we've looked into, a big driver is having the design actually aimed at consumers. It's all about having consumer products that enable people to do stuff, rather than vice versa. Here's this horrible looking thing, and here you go because you can do something, which is certainly not the way to do it, because it's not inclusive. So I think that is key, that actually the technology is what everybody wants, rather than what's forced upon you.
And I think it's really interesting, you know, two reasons. The first being that, you know, we're obviously very aware in the UK in particular about the issues with social care, you know, both from a financial point of view, and we have an aging population. But also how the response to that has changed. So, you know, you look 10, 15 years ago about, you know, where everyone thought home technology was going, there was still the idea of, you know, robotics being, you know, really prevalent. You look at something, even I remember watching iRobot, you know, the film version with Will Smith, and, you know, there was the whole point, you had, you know, humanoid robots, you know, cooking in the house, and that was kind of like the vision of the future. In 2035, everyone's going to have their own personal robot, whatever. Now it's become so much more, the world has moved on, so it's now almost, it's integrated tech, it's subtle, it's discreet, and, you know, it's not marking people out, it's different, it's needing help, because, like you say, everybody, it's just the new standard, and if that is accessible and open and can help people in different ways, then absolutely, that's the best way to approach this tech.
Yeah, we've seen, from the robot point of view, robots are very good at doing one job, over and over and over again. That's really what they're built for. The idea that you could build a robot that is a personal butler, I think, is quite a long way off.
Yeah, yes.
Very, very.
It's so much more invasive than just having, you know, and especially when you look at, you know, Google and their recent you know, I/O conference, looking at, you know, gesture control with their devices. You know, it's now so uninvasive that you don't even have to speak to it.
No.
It's a question of just raising your hand, and that's almost, you know, the least invasive version of this technology.
Yeah, because what people really want to do with it is what they already is being done. And that doesn't need, just to turn on the light doesn't mean you need a robot to go and turn the light on. The light just needs to be turned on for a control. So, I think well, Hollywood always glamorises.
Well, it's because it's not the film people, it's the Star Trek nerds. Yeah. Because in there, that's
very true. Also, arguably, a film where people just sort of used a voice controller and gesture controller would be quite dull.
I think so.
It couldn't rise up, could it, if it did?
No.
Although, of course, Vicky, the AI, the centre of it, she was controlling. Anyway.
Yes, totally.
Next time on the Smart Life podcast, we are at the Smart Homes and Buildings Association's Retailer and Manufacturers panel with a live panel of industry experts discussing privacy by design and smart home technology. We'll hope you'll join us then.